Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Our next guest is Anne Hertzberg. She's, of course, legal advisor at NGO Monitor. She's an authority on international law, NGO accountability, well, and misuse of lawfare. And thanks for joining us once again. Once again, the Red Cross Gazan Uber is back in action. But we just wanted to understand the situation. What mandate do they have? Who entrusts them to facilitate such an exchange?
Hi, thanks for having me. I just want to say, you know, it's just a wonderful day. Before answering, and I'm actually watching Israeli television right now, and they're starting to show the first images of the hostages.
Oh gosh, if you see that, you're just. What are you seeing? Like, how are they looking?
So basically, some of the families have gotten on their cell phones, have gotten some images of their family members. They just showed a photo of the Cuneo brothers,
mm-hmm.
and Matan Angrest, and one of the other hostages, Cohen, I forget the first name. But the Cuneo brothers have not been released yet, I don't believe. So we're getting our first view of them. And just showing the families. So it's really an unbelievable moment.
Just incredible. Absolutely.
Very emotional.
Very emotional. And it's very hard to put into words what all of this means, because what a 2 years this has been.
Yeah, and just going back to your question about the Red Cross, I mean, I think that really sums it up. All of this was unavoidable. This was all avoidable. It could have ended October 8th. It should never have happened in the first place, but it could have ended October 8th with their release, the ICRC, all of the UN, all of the other international institutions have basically done nothing for the hostages. There was no sustained campaigning or advocacy for them. All the Red Cross has done has basically, you know, just glorified drivers. They did basically nothing to help these hostages. They claim to have this, you know, mandate, this international mandate, and they claim to be, they can't say or do anything because they're bound by this principle of neutrality. But of course, we saw all along during the past 2 years, the many tweets and statements attacking Israel and basically saying barely anything about the hostages. I'll say from my own side, at the very beginning of the war, because I was friends with Hirsch Goldberg, Poland's parents, and I knew Hirsch, and I knew some people at the ICRC. So within the early weeks of the war, I contacted the person. I did, and I asked them, why aren't you doing anything for the hostages? Why aren't you saying anything about the hostages? And I had an hour-long phone call with someone there, and they admitted that their social media up until that point had been horrible. And a couple hours later, they did one post on X, you know, but that was about it. It was very sporadic campaigning the entire time, you know, and I just think after everything that's happened, there has to be accountability for these organizations and the role that they played in this catastrophe. You know, we can't let it drop. You know, we're overjoyed that the hostages are home, but millions of lives have been destroyed by this war. And these people will never be the same, and their families will never be the same. And a lot of it is to the failure of the international community that enabled this situation in the first place.
So how are they to be held accountable?
I mean, I think first of all, there can be lawsuits by the families. I think that's something that needs to be explored, demanding reparations. But I think also, and I know governments don't want to do it, but they have to, taxpayers have to demand it. There needs to be a complete overhaul and evaluation and investigation of this entire aid apparatus. You know, we have this new plan coming in. They're going to be, again, flooding the strip with humanitarian aid. But where are the safeguards so this doesn't happen again? There's been no discussion of that. In fact, I know from my own work, particularly relating to the UK, that where I work a lot, the government refuses to have the conversation even, you know, to discuss how did this situation happen? How did the billions of dollars and pounds and euros in humanitarian aid going into the Strip get diverted to Hamas so that they could build this whole military, you know, complex with tunnels and all the weapons? And there's just been no desire to have that discussion because it's difficult and uncomfortable.
So does that mean there's been no introspection at all from the Red Cross to say, could we have done this better? Could we have done this differently? This is how we haven't excelled.
From everything I've seen, this has not taken place. And when you look at who's the head of the Red Cross, it's the former head of UNRWA, who himself turned a blind eye to all of this. So how can the Red Cross, which is headed by a former head of UNRWA, take any accountability, undergo any introspection? The whole organization has failed leadership already, you know, from the very, you know, from the outset. Their leader headed UNRWA for many years. So they're not at least openly doing any introspection for their failures, you know.
So what would you like to see happen?
So that's what I would like to see. I would like to see an open conversation with pluralistic voices, not simply, you know, people who are going to be cheerleading how great the ICRC and all of the rest of these international aid organizations are, but take a hard look at what these groups did. I mean, we at NGO Monitor have gotten a cache of documents discovered in Gaza that clearly outline the collaboration and the complicity between the international aid groups and the UN with Hamas and some governments. And it's all spelled out. So for 20 years, they knew exactly what was going on, and they've said and did nothing. And not only that, after the war, have been blatantly lying about it afterwards. So I don't see how we can move forward to any sort of reconciliation until those actors are also held accountable. All they've been doing is dumping on Israel, demanding Israel take steps, and none of them think they have to do anything. They don't have to change. They don't have to be held accountable, you know, and that's part of the failure here. And we don't want to see a repeat, but I don't see how we can have a different situation if they are also not being investigated and taking responsibility for what they did.
That is where we leave it. Anne Hertzberg, thank you as always. Thanks for fighting the fight over the last couple of years. We no doubt will be speaking to you as many of these situations unravel and we follow where people can be held accountable.